Good morning, Christ Church. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm going to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you that you are a God that is faithful and we can count on. We thank you, Father, that you've never failed us yet. I pray for myself. I pray for every heart that is connecting with you this morning, Father. Would you give us the trust and confidence that we need in you to live this life well? Would our hearts be open to you, to let you lead us, teach us, guide us, and instruct us? I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It constantly amazes me how much technology has changed over the years. I've never really been good at directions. Some might say that I am directionally challenged. I've gotten myself lost quite a few times. And many of those times were, I'm going to date myself here, so don't judge me. I didn't have a cell phone that I could like pull out and ask for help. I was kind of on my own having to figure it out. So back in the day to get directions, and I'm not going to go way back, I'm going to go back to like my era, we had this thing called MapQuest. And MapQuest was genius because you would go on the computer, you'd type in where you needed to go, you'd print off your lovely little directions, you'd put it in the car with you, and it would tell you exactly where to go and when to go. Now, it wasn't terribly safe to be looking at papers while you were trying to drive, so it was always nice if you had like a co-pilot that could like tell you what to do. It only caused a few fights, like arguing and not knowing and then not going, but it definitely helped. Then somewhere along the way, my wonderful sister got me a Garmin. And this Garmin was fantastic because it was this handy little box and I could put it in my car and it was electronic so I could type things in and it would tell me where to go and it would show me the picture of stuff and it was mostly foolproof. There was a few times that it told me very weird directions and I followed them because if the Garmin said it, it must be true. And it would like take me off of the highway on like these weird country roads and then it would put me back on the highway for no reason, no traffic, no detour, but in the end, it got me where I was going, so I didn't question it. And then, yay, I finally got an iPhone. I joined the 21st century, and now I have this lovely mount on my car, and it's got like this little magnet, like my phone sticks to it, and my iPhone does everything, tells me everything, where I'm going, detours, different options, like if I want to avoid highways, if I want the fastest route. And my kids who think they're hilarious went in and changed the voice, and now I have a British man telling me where to go. And they laugh every time because I also have no idea how to change it back, so I just let him tell me where to go. And I'm super at the mercy of my phone telling me because I don't know, and I stop guessing, and I follow the directions that my map tells me to find my way. Now, it doesn't always solve the problem of getting there on time. That's more of a me issue, but it gets me there, and it gets me where I'm going, and I trust it, and it makes a big difference in my life. I really haven't gotten lost like I used to. Now, it would be incredible if the rest of our lives worked this way. Like, if somebody made an app that I could pull out that, like, told me which direction to go in life, and when I have to make hard choices, and when big decisions are coming up, like, it would be so amazing if it was as easy as a right or a left or a yield or a stop or a north or a south. It would be so great if we had directions that were as simple as following the instructions on a map. But we don't have those same directions for how to live out our values or how to make the right choice when everything is really, really hard. We don't have the same app access for how to live in healthy, quality ways. So when it comes to finding guidance and direction for how we live and how we make life choices, we're kind of left with the paradigms that we have in our mind and what we think works and what we think we shouldn't do. And we've kind of picked them up along the way, and that's kind of our map that tells us where to go. But what if we had a better resource available to us, a better guide to lead us in the way that we should go, that we can turn to and trust and know that we're not going to get messed up, lost, or turned around? And it's interesting because when David thought about this idea, he thought about God. He thought about God being the one that he could go to learn how to do life and get direction for how to go and what he should do. And this is what he reminds us in Psalm 25, starting at verse 8. He said, "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies." And I find there's three really important good ideas that David gives us in these verses. The first idea is this. We can absolutely trust God to teach us and direct us. When we study the character of God, here's what we know about him. He is good and upright. That is at the core of who God is. He's always good, and he always does what is right. He's fair, and he's just, always, at all times. There's never a moment where there's a lapse in his character or there's a lapse in his judgment. He is always good and always doing what is right. Now, I've had a lot of teachers over the years. I've had them like through elementary school and middle school and high school and college, and they weren't all good. They weren't all fair. Some of them weren't really on close terms with the word right. Some of them were great. Some of them were not. Some were better than others, and some genuinely cared about education and wanted to help, and some just liked having a platform where they could prove how smart they were and how unsmart, which is totally a word, unsmart everybody else was. God's not that kind of a teacher. God isn't using humanity as a means to prove himself. He has nothing to prove. God isn't using us as a way to elevate himself. He actually doesn't really need anything from us. His goodness is who he is constantly. And that goodness is at the core of our relationship with him. Out of his goodness, we were created. Out of his goodness, the world is sustained. Out of his goodness, he does the right thing again and again and again. And no one is more concerned with our goodness than God. And through Christ, he shares his goodness with us. We can trust that everything God does is right. And I know sometimes this feels like a tension because things happen in life and we're like, this can't be right. This cannot be how it's supposed to be. And you're right, maybe it isn't how it's supposed to be. Our world is messy and it's broken. It's good, but it's not perfect. But God is still able to make good even out of the bad. God is able to still do what's right, even when things are hard and messy. And so many times it's hard for us to wrap our minds around this, right? Because we wish things weren't the way they were, or we wish that things were different, or we wish we had done different, or we wish the people around us had done different. But rather than that creating tension in God's goodness, what if we rethought the concept? What do I know about God's goodness? How can I see that even in these circumstances? Because if everything God does is right, how does this work? I don't do everything that's right. I mean, I wish I could make that statement. There's too many people who know me and can give you way too many examples of the times that I didn't get it right. I don't do everything right. It's just not in me. I want to, I try. Sometimes it's because I don't know enough. Sometimes it's just because I make bad decisions. But throughout life, I've not gotten it right more times than I can count. But in contrast, God has always gotten it right. I can trust in his rightness even when I can't trust in my own. I can trust in his goodness even when I can't trust in my own. Because God does everything right and he doesn't contradict himself. He is the same God who for thousands upon thousands of years has been showing his goodness, who has been connecting to us out of his rightness. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, God is the same. And when we have that as our core understanding of who God is, we can trust him to teach us in a different way. God's not trying to teach us because he's out to get us. God's not trying to teach us because he wants to like have this big aha moment where he proves how terrible we are and the whole world sees it. God wants to teach us because he wants good for us. God wants to teach us because he is good and it's innately who he is. We can learn from him because we know he always has our best at heart. We can trust him because he's working all things together for our good. We can trust him to teach us because he's good and he's right. But then the second thing that David shows us is learning requires a humble spirit. Because God is good, he wants to instruct us and he wants to lead us and he wants to teach us. He didn't just create us and then like throw us out into the wild and say, okay, figure it out on your own. He didn't create us and then leave us on our own. God has always sought to have a relationship, a personal relationship with us. He wants to lead us in the way that we should go, and he wants to teach us along the way. He wants us to gain understanding and knowledge as we grow. But to learn, there has to be a humility that says, I don't know everything right now. I've learned along the years, like anytime I've set out to learn something new, the first thing I learn is how much I really don't know. And it's never a great feeling, because like the older you get, like part of it is a little bit embarrassing, because like you feel like you should know this by now, or you feel like everybody else knows it, so why don't you? And so there's a little bit of like a prick on your pride. Like it feels a little bit like nobody wants to feel dumb. But humility isn't about feeling dumb. Humility is an awareness of there's more for me to learn, which is a good thing, not a bad thing. I love this idea from the writer Ralph Marston. He said, whatever you're doing, a sense of superiority will make you worse at it. Humility, on the other hand, will make you better. The moment you think you've got it all figured out, your progress stops. Instead, continue to advance and improve by reminding yourself how much more there will always be to discover. Confidence is positive and empowering, but arrogance is deadly. Be confident, but not at the expense of your respect for others. He said, don't burn up all your energy proving how great you are. Instead, invest your time and energy in being thoughtful and helpful. See the victories not as proof of your supremacy, but as opportunities to offer more value to life. See the defeat not as personal affronts, but as a chance to learn and grow stronger. Take care not to waste your time in delusions of grandeur. Embrace the power of confident humility and live well. And I love that expression, confident humility. Humility isn't being a floor mat and just letting everybody walk all over you, or be, you know, like self-deprecating and saying terrible stuff about, that's not humility. You can be confident and humble at the same time. Humble is, I don't have to prove how great I am to everybody. I don't have to try and prove to everybody how smart I am, or how much I know, or how worthy I am, or how valuable I am, or why you should listen to me, or why I'm worth it. Humility puts that all to the side and says, it is an absolute wonder of the world that we live in that every single day from now until God takes us into his beautiful next step for us, we always have something new to learn. Life will never get boring when you've always got something new to learn. God has more upon more upon more, and that's a blessing and a gift that we get to constantly keep growing again and again. But the opposite, superiority, is always going to disrupt our relationships. Superiority disrupts our relationship with God, and it totally disrupts our relationships with each other. Because superiority is based on this better than concept. I'm better than you. I'm better than this. I am smarter. There's nothing you can teach me. I've already been there. I've heard that before. Turns into this like cynicism. I've seen it all. You can't teach me anything new. I've done that. I've got this figured out. I'm good. And as long as we are superior, we're always spending our time looking down on others. We put ourselves in this place where we want to be, we seek to make ourselves feel better by being higher than, above other people. And as long as we're constantly looking down on everybody else, we never stop long enough to look up to God with an open heart to say, well, what does God want to teach me here? What don't I know? Yeah, I know. I know a lot. You are so smart, and that's an amazing thing. But maybe just in this moment, in this time, and in this place, there's still something you don't know about God and how God works, and how God works in your life and in your relationships and in the things that you're doing. We don't have to prove how great we are, how smart we are, how worthy we are. God already knows. God already said we're so valuable and so worth it that he sent Christ into this world on our behalf that we might know how loved we already are by God. We've got nothing to prove. God already said we're good enough and valuable enough and worthy enough. We don't have anything left to prove, especially to God, only things to learn. And I love this idea about humility. I heard from a really smart person. Humility could be seen as giving up the need to be greater than we are. It's giving up thinking that we know it all, and giving up thinking that we can do it all, and giving up thinking that we have to do it well all of the time. It's giving up thinking that we're better than other people when they don't do well. It's giving up needing to be seen as right or good all of the time. It's giving up defensiveness when somebody catches us not knowing something or catches us maybe not where we want to be. We don't have to be defensive. We don't have to be more than who we are right now. Humility allows us to be students. We get to be students of life and students of what God is teaching us, students of where God is leading us and how he's instructing us. It allows us to learn from each other. The best gift that God gave us was each other. And it's not that we're all cookie cutter replicas of one another, but that we have different opinions and different versions on how we see life and different backgrounds and different contests and different, all of the things that are different, they are the things that we get to learn from and with each other. It's great to be around people who aren't like us because we get to learn from their experience and what they've seen and what they've learned, and we get to have conversations, not trying to prove them wrong and us right, but just learning and growing from each other, which is the beauty of humanity in this world that God gave us. There's no progress in life when we say we know it all. That becomes the glass ceiling of how far we can go. But as long as our hearts are open, and we give up trying to prove something to everybody else, we're open to learning and new experiences. There is just no point in life where we know it all. We might know a lot, and in certain professions, I want you to know a lot. If you are a doctor, I want you to know everything you need to know to be in that position. If you're a teacher teaching my kids, I want to know that you know a lot of things. We should know things at certain phases in our life. But it doesn't mean that there aren't other new, wonderful things, new opportunities for us to learn and grow, which requires a humble heart that is open to learning. And then here's the third idea that David gives us. He says, the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. We all have these paths that we create in our life that we follow again and again. Some of them we've been doing for so long, they just become habit, and we don't even think about it anymore, right? Like, how hard did you think about brushing your teeth this morning? You just did it. Like, you didn't think, like, okay, first I'm going to grab my toothbrush, and then I'm going to get it wet, and then I'm going to put toothpaste in it, then I'm going to brush for this amount of time, right? Like, it just becomes habit, hopefully habit, and we do it without even thinking about it. We've just done it for so long. Or when we learned how to drive, do you remember, like, you focused on every little thing, which is a good thing, we should. But now that you've been driving a while, mostly you do it automatically. Like, you don't think about, like, I don't even have a key to put in my ignition anymore. I just have a button to push. And we don't think about all of that. And some of us have been driving the same path. I feel like I've laid down ruts in the ground. Like, I've driven this so many times. My wheels have left impressions here. And sometimes, like, I get to where I'm going, and I feel like I could get there with my eyes closed. I won't, I promise, but I've done it so many times, it just feels like a path I've created in my life. We do this with places we go, right? Like, when I go grocery shopping, I like to go to the stores that I know because I know where everything is. So I don't have to waste my time, like, learning a new store and new aisles and new product placement. Like, I know where the things are. I can grab it, and I can go out and be quickly. We do the same thing in our minds. We have patterns of thinking that we've been thinking so long that they've just become automatic and we don't even think about them anymore. And some of those are healthy and some of them are not. Some of us have learned these paths that aren't healthy and they're hurtful and damaging to us. Some of these paths set us up for success and others keep us really just entrenched in our hurt and our misery and pain. Some of these paths drive us forward and some hold us hostage to our pasts. These are paths that we create in our life and in our mind, and they matter. They help us do life in healthy ways or stay stuck in our troubles and with a victim mindset that says, I can't do anything. They help us see the potential in things, or we look at it and say, well, there's nothing I can do. one of the things that God wants to teach us is new paths. That when we follow him, he wants to show us new ways of doing life. And I love how the Message translates verse 10. It says, from now on, every road you travel will take you to God. Follow the covenant signs. Read the charted directions. God wants to teach us paths that lead us to him. As he leads us, we can trust his ways because his paths are steadfast love and faithfulness. The paths that God leads us on are marked with the direction of love and faithfulness. So let's remind ourselves what these two concepts mean. When we think about steadfast love, it's this idea that God has an abundant, constant amount of love to give. God's never going to run out of love. It's not like God's going to say, well, you know what? I used up all that I had in the 19th century, so from here on out, I'm just going to start, like, doling it out in smaller doses because I just don't have a lot left over. God doesn't work that way. Like, I might run out of patience, and I might run out of steam, but God doesn't. He is steadfast in his love. He's constant. It does not change. And he's abundant in his love. He's always going to have more love to give. He has these promises that he's made, these covenants that he's made, that he's been making with his people again and again and again. And what we know is all of God's promises find their yes in Jesus Christ. And when I know Christ and I spend time with him, that's God saying yes to the promises, all of the promises that he's made. And the steadfastness of his love means he's constant. He's not going to abandon his people. He's not going to get fed up with us and say, well, I'm done. I've been trying long enough. You haven't done what I wanted you to do. And now you're just going to kind of figure it out, right? Like, God doesn't do that with us. Instead, he constantly has more love to share. He's constantly looking for us. He's constantly reaching out to us. He's constantly creating paths back to him that we might know his love and faithfulness. Friends, we aren't an annoyance to God. Maybe you've been told that before, like you're annoying, you're too much, nobody can handle you. God doesn't feel that way about you. You aren't too much for God. Christ came into the world to be with us, God with us, that we might know God and we might connect and grow with him and that we might be reminded there is nobody who's unlovable. There's nobody so far gone that God can't love them and restore them and heal them and make them new. God's steadfast love is complemented by his faithfulness. God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. We can count on him because he doesn't quit. He doesn't give up. He doesn't wash his hands of us or turn his back on us or abandon us. He is faithful. He's always eternally faithful. And he has this never-ending love, supply of love for you and I. He's not going anywhere. He's not giving up on you and I. He's going to keep creating new paths for us to follow that we might understand the depth and the riches of his steadfast love and faithfulness. There is nothing I can do to make God love me more, and there's nothing I can do to make God love me less, which frees us up from having to prove ourselves again and again and again and just rest in the steadfast love of God and his faithfulness. We aren't on an interview where we're trying to prove ourselves. God already did that in Christ. Now we just get to be in his love and his faithfulness. We just get to remember that God keeps his promises, that all of them are yes in Jesus Christ. And he gets to be our model on how to live and how to serve and how to treat people. And it all comes from our relationship with Christ. We have a teacher, a great teacher, who is dedicated to us learning, who is dedicated to helping us grow. And he teaches us with a steadfast, faithful love. Everything he wants for us is good and it's right, and we can trust him. we can believe that what he wants for us is good, that he is working all things together for our good. So here's the question. If God is this great teacher who we can trust to teach us and we can have an open, humble heart with, and we know that he leads us with paths of steadfast love and faithfulness, what are we learning? Are we open to learning from him? Are we following his lead and letting him guide us in the way that we should go? So here's where I want to challenge us this week. I want to challenge us to spend some quiet time with God and just think about your life. Think about where you are right now in your life. And as much as you can think back about the places and the choices and the moments that got you where you are, who are you? What are some of the choices that you've made to be where you are today? And just think through, like, what have you learned along the way? What has God taught you? What has life taught you? What has experience shown you? And then hold those up to what we know about God. If God is good and right and steadfast and loving and faithful, is what I've learned in, does it link up with that? Or is it at opposition of what I know to be true about God? Write down the questions you're still trying to figure out. Write down the things that you're still struggling with and trying to work your way through. I did a huge evaluation over the last year. It was a big year. A lot of things changed. And so I started with, here's all the hard things that happened last year. And I just wrote them all down. And then I said, here's all the good things that happened last year. And I tried to think through, because good stuff happened even in the midst of the hard. And I wrote down all the hard things and I wrote down all the good things. And then I tried to put that into, what did I learn from this last year? Spend some time with God and do an evaluation of your life. Maybe you just do it over the last year. You think through, like, your thoughts and you write them down, and it helps you open yourself up to pay attention to what paths you're following, what roads you're walking down, and where might you be open to learning for God. And then ask God for help with it all. Ask God to lead you. Ask God to direct you in the way that you should go. Maybe it sounds something like this. God, I maybe haven't learned everything I should have learned by now. Would you give me a desire in my heart to learn more? God, I'm not sure what path I'm on right now, but it's not working. Could you show me another way to go that I might find a better way of doing life? Maybe it's just as simple as, God, I need help. God, help me in my thoughts. Help me in my thinking. Help me in my choices. And we spend this time with God asking him to lead us and direct us as we should go. And then here's the second part of that. So, okay, what are we learning? But where are we learning as well? God gave us tools to know him better. God didn't leave us here. He actually gave, you know, like you have kids and you say, well, they didn't come with an instruction book. God gave us an instruction book. He gave us a guide, a tool to help us to learn from him. And it's the Bible. And the more time we spend there, the more we learn about the paths of God. The more we learn about, what does God want me to do? What does God say is the right way to go? And the more we learn who he is and how he's calling us to live. And it's the place we go to learn how to live well. God has so much to teach us in the Bible. And I promise there's something in it for everybody. It doesn't matter if you have a college degree, a high school degree, if you are a theologian, if you are a mom, a dad, if you're at home, if you're working, no matter where you are or what level of education you are, you can go to the Bible and there's something in it for everybody. And God uses it to help grow us and instruct us. And he has been revealing himself in this place for thousands upon thousands of years. If you need a great place to start, what if you started with the book of Proverbs? We're going to study some Proverbs together coming up here in a little bit. The book of Proverbs is, it's literally a book of wisdom, and it's these little snippets on how to live life well, how to live life as a wise person. There's all these contrasts between the wise person and the foolish person, and we get these snippets of what is a wise way to live. It's a great place to start. The Gospels are a really good place to start. Pick one gospel and get to spend some time with Jesus Christ and see who he is and what he said and what he did and how he treated people and what were the things he said and how did he connect all of these big things together. It's a tool that God gave us that is a great place to start. And when we learn from him there, it helps us grow and leads us on the path that we should go. And then here's my last question for us to think about. Who are we learning with? Because God gave us each other to learn with. And something incredible happens when we're in a group together, talking through big ideas together and thinking through challenging thoughts together and asking hard questions together. Maybe you've come to our community night and you've been in our Bible class and we think through big ideas together. And it's a great place to ask hard questions and think these big thoughts about God. Christianity has always been a thinking religion. It's never been just a close your eyes and don't ask that. It's always been a ask hard questions. God can handle them. God's got it. He's big enough and strong enough to handle our biggest questions. And I might not know the answer, but we'll figure it out together and we'll see what God is teaching us. I would invite you to hook up with us on a community night, or if you're in a life group, it's a great place to be able to circle around other people and do life together. And you know, it's one of the things that we're trying to teach our kids right now. They get to do life with other people. And so our kids ministry is a great place for our kids to hook up with other people their age and learn right now that they can do life with other people and they can grow and they can learn about God and they can ask questions. So maybe you help us by connecting your kids, your families here, so we can learn with each other and grow with each other. God is an incredible teacher. And when we open our hearts to him, I promise he will not disappoint us. He's got so much good stuff for us to learn. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would give us humble, open spirits to you, that we might just simply say, there's a lot we've got to learn, and we want to. I pray that you would put within each of our hearts a desire to learn more about you and faith and life and how to live well. I thank you, Father, that you are a God we can trust, that we can have confident humility knowing that you are a God who is good and right and loves us faithfully. I pray, Father, that we would trust you to teach us, that we would trust you to direct us in the way that we should go. I pray, Father, that you would help us to spend time this week thinking through these questions and opening our hearts up to you more on how we might learn better even with each other. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.